thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And again, we welcome all of our guests and all of you precious people who come week after week after week and support the church. Thank you so very much for being in attendance again. This has been a very, very stressful and rush week for us. Last Saturday evening, our dear brother Will Carls sung in our choir. Then yesterday we had his memorial service here at 3 o'clock with a full house of people. Now, we had a pretty full house here this morning, but classes have been dismissed already, but there were many more people here yesterday than what we have presently in the auditorium. Okay. But it's good to see you here. And I know that all of you are very, very serious about your walk with God and your relationship with the Lord. This morning, I want to speak on the subject from question marks to exclamation points. From question marks to exclamation points. And we turn in our Bible to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. This is pretty much where I stopped last Wednesday night when we were having such a great move of the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through verse 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now what happens sometimes with people with good intentions trying to be spiritual, someone will maybe unintentionally attack them, at least they take it as an attack, and the person who does so exhibits some carnal behavior. As a result, because of what the person calls the principle of the thing, they attack back because they want to win. And after a while, the Lord backs off and says, I have no part of either side, because this person is fighting carnality with carnality. If you want to win your battle, spiritually speaking, you have to fight them according to the word of the Lord. So if somebody gets sharp with you, what do you do? The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Someone smites you on the right cheek, what do? You turn the left. Now, that goes against the grain of flesh, doesn't it? Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to take the Message Bible and I want to read this. I understand that the Message Bible is not a true translation. It's more of a commentary. But I went to this because I wanted to see what the writers had to say. Listen to this. They say the world is unprincipled. It is dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation. But they are for the demolishing of the entire massive corrupt culture that is the culture of the world. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Jesus Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives in obedience to maturity. Isn't that great? I have just seen so many people fall into the trap of taking the mighty weapons, the spiritual weapons, and putting them aside and picking up carnal weapons when they feel it's convenient for them. But we know that the devil plays mind games on us. He gets into your mind and causes you to think incorrectly. Another thing, you know, the devil wants to do, he wants to destroy reality. Now, when you were born surrounded by exclamation points. To give you an example, I noticed that John and Samantha Walden are here with their baby. And stand up, John and Samantha. All right. Now, look at this baby boy. Isn't that great? Now, John, it is a boy, isn't it? Okay. Now, stand up and say that again. Say yes. All right. Now, when they bring the baby out, they say, John, it's a boy! Exclamation point. John looks at him and says, looks just like me! Exclamation point. He's destined to be great! Exclamation point. My, is he good looking! Exclamation point. Oh, my. As he grows a little older, you see him smile. Samantha may take the baby in and say, John, he smiled! Exclamation point. Later on, John sees him turn over. He goes to Samantha and says, he's rolled over! Exclamation point. Later on, he pulls up. They both look at each other, seeing this for the first time. He pulled up! Exclamation point. He took a step today! Exclamation point. He's walking! Exclamation point. Today, he said, Daddy! 2 exclamation points. He's going to be a great son! Exclamation point. He's so smart! Exclamation point. He's going places in life! Exclamation point. But the problem is that there is a devil. The devil was once an archangel. And he started questioning God's authority. The great God of heaven, the great I am, exclamation point. The devil wanted to be equal to him. He says, I will arise and I will be like God. Now you have to understand what the devil's doing now. He takes every exclamation point and he twists it around and he makes a question mark out of it. He's great at that. If you go back to Genesis, the third chapter, and you read verse 2 and 3, and the woman said unto the serpent, this is Adam and Eve in the garden, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither touch it, lest ye die. Exclamation point. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Question mark. Now, I put the question mark and I put the exclamation point there. As you know, in the Hebrew language, neither one existed. So the punctuation and such that you see in the King James Version was placed there by the translators. The devil was going to her and saying, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods. You're going to be just like God, knowing good and evil. So the devil came, and he took the exclamation point, and he twisted it, turned it into a lie. And I have dealt with so many people in recent months who have listened to the devil. So today, we want to reverse this, and we want to talk about from question marks to exclamation points. In other words, if God has taken all the exclamation points and given them to you, and the devil has come by to rob you and turn them into question marks, there is a Jesus Christ that walks among us today that wants to take all of those warped question marks, stretch them out straight again, punctuate the end of the sentence, and make an exclamation point out of it. Strongholds. Now, strongholds range from mental blocks to physical addictions. Anything that holds you strongly. A bad habit. Let's say something as simple as what most people would call sarcasm. I have dealt with a lot of people that, a few people, not a lot, but a few people that they cannot hold a conversation without using sarcasm. Now, sarcasm is saying nothing good about a person. It's turning good points into taunting tactics. Now, the problem with people who use sarcasm is that you can't use sarcasm and edify at the same time. So the deeper you get into using sarcasm, the less you edify. And after a while, it is strange, but yet it's true that a Christian who walks with Christ has allowed such a stronghold to take place in their life that they cannot edify the body of Christ. Now, God says, edify! Exclamation point. The devil says, you want to be cute? You want to show someone how much wit you have? You got it, honey. Use a little sarcasm. Takes the exclamation point, turns it into a question mark, puts it after your name. After a while, because you haven't edified and because you have not aligned yourself to the Word of God, question mark after question mark after question mark crops up in your daily living. And people wonder, why did he say that? Does he know something that I don't know about this person? It just started out as a cute little something. Now it has become a stronghold. It's holding you strongly. So thus, the person is in violation of Scripture. Now, strongholds range from these mental lapses to physical addictions, such as the use of tobacco. I tell you, I had a real problem stopping the habit of smoking when I came to the Lord. I'm in a real habit. I've told that story so much, most of you could tell it as good as I can. You know, and you hear people say, oh, I'm not addicted. I can quit anytime I want to. I just don't want to. And you know, the thing about it, listen to me carefully. The thing about it is that physical addictions are designed to destroy your will. And when you say, I just don't want to, that's it. You don't want to. Because when the will has been captured and bound and tied up, you know, if for no other reason other than just to preserve health, you should rid yourself of that addiction. And then alcohol. We have a CIP program. And I don't know how many people have gone through our CIP program, but 500 to 1,500, Brother Hawk says. After a while, you know, you say, well, I just socially take a drink. Well, is that the reason why you've been arrested 5 times for drunk driving? Is that the reason why that your marriage is broken up? Is that the reason why you come in and beat up on your wife? This becomes such a stronghold. Then after a while, because your will's been destroyed, you wonder, can I be delivered? Question mark. Is God concerned enough about me to help me? Question mark. If he is, can he really deliver me? But you see, God is an expert in taking question marks and stretching them out and making an exclamation point, puts it down in your life and say, God can. Exclamation point. Casting down imaginations. Did you know the devil is a liar? Not only that, he's the father of all lies. So when your little tot tells a lie, there's inspiration that comes from the devil, if you call it inspiration. God always says, I can. The devil says, oh, I don't know. Can he? I've told many people walked in my office with problems. I said, if you can leave this office and change what's between your two ears, you can be a new person. Because all that's stopping you is what exists between those two ears. But the stronghold and the casting out of imaginations, these imaginations can be a stronghold also. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Are you tired of suffering defeat? Why not claim the victory today? And there's don't wait. That's what we talked about Wednesday night when we talked about believing God for now. Let God take all of those question marks that you have. Just go out like we have two wood fireplaces in our house, and we go out and we stack the wood in the garage. We come in with a double armload, man. Just as much as you can pile up, bring it in there. Why not just take all of these old warp question marks and pile them up? Bring them down to the altar and just throw them down at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, here they are, Lord. You know, I want you to make exclamation points out of all of these. See, the devil, this is what he says, can God or will God actually heal you? And after a while, you're repeating what he says. Can God or will God heal me? Can he heal my cancer? Is he big enough to take care of cancer? Broken homes. Can God save your family? And after a while, you're saying, can God save my family? Go back to this about smoking. Can I quit smoking? The devil's telling you, can you actually quit smoking? You say, can I? Can I quit drinking? Is he strong enough to save my marriage? Can he give me a good job? Now, these are valid questions that go over and over and over in our mind. Every now and then, I have to deal with the situation where someone was abused from a very young person, ranging all the way from physical abuse caused by alcohol or some other physical addiction, drugs maybe, to sexual abuse. And I've seen especially ladies in their late 20s and 30s still struggling with that after giving their heart to God. Now, the thing about it is the real answer is found in the Scripture. Some things, you know, you can't solve. You just have to forget. You have to drop it. And the only way you can is to forgive people. Now, that doesn't make what they did right. But when you forgive someone, what you do, you unshackle yourself from that individual. When you won't forgive, it's like handcuffing yourself to the person that you despise the most. And every place you go, you take them with you. And the only key to unlocking those handcuffs is forgiveness. The key is in forgiveness. And if you can forgive a person, you can reach over, unlock the cuffs, let them fall to the ground, and walk away. And you know the thing about it, many times when you're not forgiving, you know, you're sitting around stewing, and the person for months and months and months has been living a regular life, not even knowing that this is bothering you. So you've got all of this poison in your system, but you can't give it to the person that you're not forgiving. You know what happens? You end up taking the poison yourself. Lest there be any root of bitterness spring up within you and thereby defile many. And that's what happens. So are you tired of suffering defeat? Why don't you just let God take all of those question marks, all of those strongholds, all of those imaginations that you have. You know, I talked to a lady not too long ago, and I know that this lady just, she worries a lot about things. And so when she told me the problem, I said, Have you tried to worry about it? Yeah, I said, well, I recommend that you worry about it. Stay up two or three nights, and let's just worry about it. I'll help you worry about it. So are you kidding? I said, isn't it a known fact that 90% of the things you worry about never come to pass? So maybe if we just start worrying, maybe it wouldn't come to pass. She said, oh, I get the point. Said, yeah, the point is, let's not worry about it. Let's put it in the hands of God. Because let me tell you something. When you start worrying about it, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. And some people, every time there's something that doesn't have a clear, definite answer, they always look at the worst-case scenario. They say, well, the worst-case scenario, wait a minute. Why are you looking at the worst-case scenario? Do you believe that God has a blessing for you? Do you believe the Bible? Deuteronomy 28, one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible. I preached a message 20 years ago, and I titled it, All for $50. And what I did, I talked about a person that's in obedience to God in paying their tithes. I use the word pay Whereas in giving, I use the word giving. Now you may say, why pay? Because your tithing is not something that's yours. It's owed to God. Just like a mortgage note. You pay a mortgage note. God gives you 100%. You pay God 10%. 10% has more purchasing power with God's blessings than 100% without God's blessings. Okay. So in Deuteronomy 28, it's talking about obedience to all of the commandments of the Lord. And the Lord says, now, if you will obey me, he said, I will apprehend you with a blessing. Just like a police car chasing someone. Say, man, I'm going. I know I just talked about this, but I'm going. Somebody needs to hear this today. But that cop that you're trying to outrun, you have to understand that his vehicle is not just a stock vehicle. It's not one that they took off the show, out of the showroom. It's one that was altered for speed to apprehend people like you. But this time you're doing good, and away you go. And you just keep going, you keep going, you keep going. After a while, the Lord catches up with you. He will apprehend you and put a blessing on you that you cannot contain. Malachi said, see, if God won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot receive. You see, God wants to do good things to every person in this building today. He wants to apprehend you with a blessing. He's got something for you. He wants to take all your question marks and straighten them out and make an exclamation point out. And he wants to say, God can. Just believe me. Just trust me. I've got something great. I've got something wonderful for you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, you trust me and you love me, for all things work together for good to those that love him and are called according to purpose, or his purpose. Oh, praise God. Yes, he can, exclamation point. We'd like for you to stand. We'd like for our choir members to come. I know we had such a great move of the Lord. But I feel that God was getting all of us ready to accept something great. When the Bible says His grace is sufficient, now the word grace in the Bible means favor, but it also means the divine leading of the heart. So when we translate grace as favor, I think a good example would be in the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, when the Bible says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And the reason why that he found favor is because when God was leading him, see, the very imaginations of the minds of men were nothing but evil continually. But Noah didn't fall into that trap. God led him past that. For where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. You may say, but I'm living in a horrible atmosphere. The voice of the devil is strong. That may be true, but let me tell you something. The voice of God is louder than the voice of the devil. That's why the Bible says, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shatarabababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababab Christ to apprehend you with a blessing today. You may have been prayed for 10 times because of some sickness. After the 6th or 7th time, you saw nothing. You stopped believing. Now when you come down, it's just a big question mark. Is it going to happen or is it not? Can it happen? This pastor is here to tell you that God is God, and He always will be God. And there's none like Him anywhere. He's bigger than all the devils of hell put together. Oh, hallelujah. And His word is forever settled in heaven. My Jesus, my Jesus. Now, while I pray, singers begin to sing. This is what I want you to do. If you need prayer for your body, come and stand over here. If you have a lot of question marks, bring them all down here and just dump them at the feet of Jesus Christ. If you've been struggling with some situation, you seem not to have the answer, like struggling for a job or broken marriage or whatever, let me just stand right here in front of the pulpit. If you need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost, come over here and stand on this side. All right. Now we want our choir members to sing.
Thank you to God who always causes us to triumph in His name.